Greetings. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
And we're building bridges. Yes, we are.
More than 2,000 behavioral health care workers are sick and tired of being sick and tired of their miserable working conditions and the way their patients are being treated. So what do they do when they're under attack?
Why, they fight back. Fight back and strike back, and we'll head straight to the picket line with the more than 2,000 Kaiser employee strikers. And this is about workers rising up, and you are listening to Building Bridges, and we're building some more bridges now, and with workers who are rising up. In fact, more than 2,000 behavioral health care workers employed by Kaiser Permanente, well, they're fed up with being overworked and underpaid, and after a year of fruitless negotiations, have taken to the strike line to say enough is enough is enough. Joining us straight from the sizzling summer picket line is Natalie Rogers. And Natalie is a person who does marriage and family therapy work who'll take us to, we're going to hear some chants and stuff. But before we get to the chants, which always excite me on the picket line and should rev up our audience to support you, thank you for joining us and tell us to begin with about the kind of work that you did. And how that work was being impeded, how patients were being sacrificed, such that you had to go to the picket line. And thank you for being with us at these very stressful times.
Great. Thank you for having me. So my name is Natalie Rogers, and I work in the emergency room at Kaiser in Santa Rosa, California. Patient care has really impacted the emergency room is patients are not able to receive care outpatient, so they are coming to the emergency room for things such as regular therapy appointments, or they are decompensating at a faster rate because they are not able to receive care, which is not something that we want for our patients to wait 5 weeks or more just to see their clinician.
Natalie, how long have you worked? And talk about the work relationship. I'm not sure that I fully understand. So you're an employee of Kaiser Permanente who services, what is it, union plans? Or give us some sense of how this employment relationship works.
So I am an employee of Kaiser Permanente. I work directly in the emergency room. That is where I am stationed. While in the emergency room, I evaluate individuals that come in that may meet criteria for a grave disability, a danger to themselves, or a danger to others. But what we are seeing is that people that, you know, don't meet that criteria at all are coming in just because they need a regular therapy appointment because they're not able to do so. And also they know that if they come in on an emergency basis that they will, attention will be drawn to them and they may be able to get an appointment sooner.
And we've also been joined by Ken Rogers, who is one of the lead organizers and strike leaders, along with Natalie. And Ken, I just want to bring you into the discussion by understanding what some of the major problems and why people would say, wait a minute, you have very vulnerable people. You shouldn't be on a picket line. You should exhaust the limits of the possible in trying to negotiate to get fair and equitable conditions, because otherwise the patients get hurt. So give us your take. What's been going on for the last years, and what the heck is Kaiser Permanente up to? And thanks for joining us.
Well, we feel like we – thank you. We have exhausted the limits of the possible in negotiations with this employer. Our main concerns are patient care to access, patient access to care and working conditions of our employees. We don't have enough time to provide the care that we need to provide, ethical and responsible mental health care for patients. And that care is more than just face-to-face. It is also responding by email, filling out forms, doing paperwork, following ethical and legal standards. It is not busy work. It is necessary for patient care for the people that we work with. And we've been dealing with this really for the past, 12 years, longer, but it's been a long ride to this point.
Ken, could you give us an illustration, a concrete illustration, either a hypothetical or an actual case, to illustrate what you mean in terms of the face-to-face meetings and the other kinds of things you do after that that you're trying to expand?
Sure. Thank you. So routinely, I will have 7 or 8 patients scheduled in a day, hour-long appointments in a day, and I work an 8-hour day. So basically, I'm seeing patients back-to-back, but when I start my shift, I have 6 to 8 emails already in my inbox of patients asking for help, assistance with something. I've got to find some time during the day to respond to them. I don't have or may not have time, but some of their concerns are urgent. So I really have to find a way to squeeze them in. This will involve booking into my lunches. This will involve booking at the time I'm not even working. I mean, it just gets to be too much on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of work that is typical at Kaiser Permanente, that we are inundated with more work than our schedules will allow. We don't have a cap on our patients. We see 5 new patients every week. So we've also got this sort of caseload that's constantly building as well. So
Wow.
So that, yeah.
Wow, and I can really identify with that in my work as a legal aid lawyer, where the conveyor belt of cases increases constantly, and part of what begins to happen is to what extent you can really fully devote yourself and treat, as you should, all of the cases that you all already have. And by the way, I just want to say that we're speaking with Ken Rogers and Natalie Rogers, and they are union siblings, but they are not in the same family. And I want to ask Natalie, what do you think this kind of, I don't even know what to call it, just overload, what does it mean actually for the additional people that Ken has been describing that need appointments, or people that may need follow-up and so on? What does it mean for quality care for your patients, and you're doing such important and vulnerable work as therapists and psychologists and so on?
Yeah, I think we're not able to provide the quality of care that we wish to provide to our patients. It's more of a machine, right? And so Ken explained it very well. In order to provide the quality of care that so many of us want to provide, we have to do it on our lunchtime. We have to do it on our own time. And Kaiser is just not allowing that. And we've been doing that for a long time because a lot of us, we got into this because we really care, right? So, for instance, I got into this field because my sister killed herself. So that was something that is very near and dear to me, that people have somewhere to turn. I'm sure Ken has a reason why he got into this field. But ultimately, we got into this field to help, right? It's a helping profession. But now it's time for Kaiser to step up to the plate, because we can only do so much, and we're getting exhausted. Many of us worked through COVID. We had fires in Sonoma County, 2 fires. So we've been working through a lot of disasters and a lot of situations, and giving so much of ourselves, but Kaiser as a business and an organization needs to step up now and do the same.
And when you say step up to the plate, to me that sounds like hire more workers, get more people there, spend some money. Is that a realistic demand? Is that what you're asking for?
Most definitely. We need additional workers, and the workers that are there need additional time to provide good quality care. And Kaiser needs to do that. They have such a large profit margin that I'm sure that they can afford to hire some more clinicians.
Natalie, what kind of a profit margin are we talking about? I always like those numbers.
Ken, I know we're in the billions. Do you know the number exactly?
Well, they're sitting on $53 billion in reserve. But to the question of hiring, you know, what's terrible is it's not that the openings don't exist. The problem is we can't retain the people that we hire. And I've noticed this in the last couple of years, especially this year, that I get a situation where I get the email that somebody's joined our organization, and, you know, welcome, you know, such and such, welcome John Doe to the organization. And then, you know, a few weeks later, I get the email, we wish John Doe good luck with his future endeavors. And it's like, wait a minute, I never even met John Doe. They're gone. They've come and gone. And, you know, before, you know, there was any kind of, like, they weren't even there long enough. So, you know, retention is really an issue, and that speaks to the working conditions. So I definitely agree with the discussion on hiring, but if we can't retain, hiring isn't alone going to do it.
So Natalie and Ken, and Natalie, you know, your description of why you went to work there just says volumes about your passion and your love and how personalized it is. And I can't imagine a better marriage and family therapist than you. I can imagine what you give to it, given your motivation. And certainly, Ken, as a psychologist. So, you know, what are the demands that you're laying out around, obviously, retention, work overload? I'm sure pay comes into play, but certainly those two fundamental things of the retention and the work overload. Ken, do you want to take us there? And by the way, in case you don't know, we're talking about thousands of workers that are out on the picket line who want to, just like Natalie, be doing the work that they should be for the patients that they care so much about. Kaiser, what the heck is wrong with you? What is wrong with these bosses that can give so little? And we're going to talk about how much you've been negotiating and how little they've given, which has driven you to the picket line. But Ken, just lay out concretely those demands, some of which Natalie already touched on in yourself, and then what the heck has Kaiser been up to that's forced you, or not been up to, that's forced you onto the picket line?
Well, I'm a little at a disadvantage since I'm not on the bargaining committee, but I'm going to go with what I believe I know at this point with it. I think we were asking for 30 minutes of IPC, or excuse me, indirect patient care, and I think they've offered something like 17 minutes.
Does that ring right, Natalie?
I don't know if you know.
Yes, I think we ended at 18 minutes. So they gave us an additional 8 minutes of time.
Oh gosh.
Right. But let me be clear about this. I think maybe if we played more of a game with this, maybe it would have helped them. We'd have said, look, we need, you know, 2 hours, and then, you know, they settle in at half an hour. But we kind of told them, you know, the bare essential of what we need to even do our job in a basic way. And to that, they're saying, yeah, let's cut that in half. So I don't know. You know, I think that, and really the way that they handled themselves the Sunday before the strike was disgraceful. They came back
with
this offer. They came back with an offer that they thought was a good offer. We refused it because we couldn't even take the vote. We couldn't even take it to our members because it didn't address our primary concern, which was time to do our jobs. And they it was a 10-minute bargaining session where they threw a fit, got angry, left, and that was the end of bargaining. And they were kind of like, well, strike if you want to strike. You know, this is their attitude. They did not want to settle this. And I think that sometimes when people think of a strike, they think of this, you know, sort of Capra-esque 11th hour, we're in a room together and, you know, valiantly working it out so we can save the pay. This is not what happened. This happened in the afternoon. After 10 minutes of responding to our latest counter, they just left and said, no, you're on your own. Good luck with your strike. You know, this is how callous this organization is.
No, go ahead, Natalie.
I was going to say, I'm not on the bargaining team either, but for me, being a member, how I feel what they did, they threw money at us. And they thought we were going to take it, and we stood up to them and said, no,
yep.
We're here because of patient care, and patient care is what we're standing up for, and if you don't understand, we will be on that picket line. And they tried to call a bluff, which we were not bluffing. So that is why we are on the picket line, because it is all about patient care and not all about money, which they tried to make it.
What has been the reaction of the public to this? To politicians to this, to other unions to this?
We are definitely receiving a lot of support. It's so funny because our politicians, which I am on the Santa Rosa City Council, but our politicians are writing us and putting on social media that they support us. And they know firsthand how it is because it's affecting their family members. It's affecting people that are close to them. So they are not exempt. They know exactly how it is. But we are giving people the avenue now to go and complain if they wish to do so. And I feel like people did not have that avenue or know how to do so prior to us.
Oh, I want to complain, so you have to give me that avenue. How can I complain? How can our listeners complain? Because, you know, while I get effervesced when I see workers collectively acting in their own interest against retrograde, backward employers, but we know that our siblings want to be back at the job and they want to be treated with dignity, respect, and they want their patients to have the full services they demand without killing the workers that are providing it. And again, we're speaking with Ken Rogers, psychologist, and Natalie Rogers, marriage and family therapist. So tell us in the time we have left, Natalie and then Ken, what do we need to do to support you folks? And what do we need to tell Kaiser Permanente, who's sitting on all these darn reserves, certainly about hiring, about retention? Tell us, Natalie.
So definitely, I would say visit our NUHW.org website. There you can learn how to bring your concerns and attention to Kaiser and to the direct authority that it needs to be brought to. Also, we have a petition going. You can find that petition, which is also on that page. And the different locations have GoFundMe pages because we are on an indefinite strike, meaning we don't have an end. We will be out here. We will be united until Kaiser takes our concerns very seriously and knows that we are here to get better patient care.
Give us that website again.
Ken, take it away.
Give us the website again.
Oh, it is NUHW.org.
And Ken, do take it away, but I'm going to ask you the most difficult question in about 30 seconds, which is you have to decide on a chant to take us out with. But Ken, in the next 30 seconds, what do you want to add to, actually, what do you want to tell Kaiser Permanente, who sure as hell is not negotiating in good faith?
I want to I would tell Kaiser Permanente, look, you may be unhappy with us, but we love Kaiser Permanente. We love working and providing health care for working people. We don't think that health care is just for the wealthy or those who can afford it through private practice. We are committed to the mission of this organization, but you need to treat your workers and your patients right. And you need to do right by them. And you need to return to the bargaining table and actually act in good faith with an intention of getting past this impasse that we're at. And not just leaving in the way that you did. I mean, it's you know, we need a real good faith effort this time.
And in 10 seconds, Natalie, how difficult is it for people to be on the picket line? Right? It's not a cakewalk.
It is definitely difficult. Physically, it's hot. But aside from that, our families, we are not going to get paid. This is unpaid. But we feel very strongly that our patients need the right kind of care. And so we will be out there until Kaiser takes our demand seriously.
And we're going to go to that website, and we're going to join and make this a national effort to get our thousands of Kaiser Permanente clinicians, therapists, counselors back to work and with the kind of conditions they need to treat their patients properly. What's that favorite chant, Natalie?
What is this about? Patient care.
1, 2, 3. What is it about? Patient care. What is it about? Patient care. Well, Ken Rogers, Natalie Rogers, strikers against Kaiser Permanente and for real patient care and for the rights and benefits of workers. Thank you so much for joining us. Love talking to you. We'll visit you again and see how you're doing on that picket line. Hey, folks, send them some stuff. Make sure they get enough to drink. And most importantly, tell Kaiser Permanente they want a decent contract.
Union. Yeah, well, word up.
Scandalo.
Bomba.
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, the sound came to be a continuity from the ashes of the old. This wisdom is gold. Brothers and sisters, it's time to look around. If we don't come master, we'll be driven to the ground.
It's a new millennium, new piece of history. All the workers come together, it's time for unity. While the rich just get richer, the poor keep on giving.
That's
a sign of the times, reality's what we're living.
The media is deception, we get handed lies. But you can't cheat a worker, cause a worker is wise. Day after day, we have to keep it going. Year after year, the union keeps growing. Taking on 2 million that they never were to earn. But without a brain and muscle, not a single will could turn. Not a force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one. Solidarity forever, the union makes us strong. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. Union makes us strong, solidarity forever.
Yes, we kick it on the real, make it so the people feel inspiration, driving all the nation and exploitation. Yes, we gotta pull together, brothers and sisters. Yo, it's time for coordination.
Through our sisters and our brothers, we can make our union strong. For respect and equal value, we have done without too long. We no longer have to tolerate injustices and wrong. Solidarity forever, yes, the union makes us strong.
We're the ones who run the show, just let everybody know. With our brains and our muscle, this is how we get hustled. Solidarity forever, kick it to the people. Always keep it real, yes, always keep it simple. There's no time for politicking, the clock keeps on ticking. We have to organize, open our eyes. It's time to see the truth, it's reality. We have to make it solid, it's time for unity. All working peoples, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working peoples, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working peoples, else. It's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever.
Yo, the sound came to be a continuity from the ashes of the old. This wisdom is cold, brothers and sisters. It's time to look around. If we don't come master, we'll be driven to the ground.
It's a new millennium, new piece of history. All the workers come together, it's time for unity. While the rich just get richer, the poor keep on giving. That's a sign of the times, reality is what we're living.
The media is deception, we get handed lies. But you can't cheat a worker, cause a worker is wise. Day after day, we have to keep it going. Year after year, the union keeps growing. Taking until millions that they never work to earn. But without a brain and muscle, not a single will could turn. Not a force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one. Solidarity forever, the union makes us strong. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever. All working people, it's time to come together. A union makes us strong, solidarity forever.
So I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
Thank you.
Thank you, the Rogers. And I want to thank you for listening. And stay strong, stay well, and support ourselves. That is, support the working class and support our striking Kaiser Permanente workers. Thanks for listening.